Welcome to the Award Travel 101 podcast. My name is Richard Kerr, and in 2013, I started a Facebook group dedicated to teaching people how to travel the world using points and miles. Today, over 50,000 members of Award Travel 101 share, teach, and learn how to travel the world on any budget. This podcast is not only a recap of award travel news and strategy, but also a glimpse into my life of running a Facebook group full-time and the lives of our members. Before we start this week's episode, here's a word from our sponsor. Running a Facebook group of over 60,000 people means I get asked a lot of questions. One of the most common is, Richard, where are you always finding these cheap flights and these mistake fares? I feel like I'm always missing out. Never miss a deal again by using Thrifty Traveler Premium. This is over 80 international flight deals a month delivered right to your inbox. Sign up today, try it for free at thriftytraveler.com/AT101. Get deals like instant mistake fare notification for $238 round trip flights to Croatia. Filter the notifications you get based on your departure city and your surrounding cities. You can use points to book these fares like Amex Membership Rewards, Chase Ultimate Rewards, and you're going to get miles when you fly these amazing deals. They even send me SkyMiles flash sales, so I never miss an opportunity to get free or cheap flights. Never miss a deal again. Thrifty Traveler Premium. Sign up today. Try it for free. ThriftyTraveler.com/AT101. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, it's that time of the week again where we talk points and miles. That's right, made up currencies where we have no say in what happens to the things we value so dear and near to our hearts. They can disappear overnight and there's nothing we can do about it. Just think about that for a second. Let it sink in. That's right. You could wake up tomorrow and an American could say, you know what? All of our miles are worth a half cent each. And there's not a daggum thing we could do about it. Yet, we all spend so much time and energy and effort into this hobby for some of you, this livelihood for some of us. And it's just a crazy, crazy world. Great episode today. I'm excited for two reasons. First, the second half of the episode, we're going to talk innovation in the loyalty space with a Shell executive that has come up with a new loyalty program for a targeted audience. Michelle Liu, who I've known for at least a couple years now through the Facebook group, reached out one day a few years ago and said, hey, we run loyalty programs here. And she's actually moved into a new sector and they have created a new loyalty program, something that we don't see too often, especially when it's innovative. So excited about that interview. Second reason I'm excited is this conversation that we're about to have to kick it off. This is all about groupthink. Groupthink, and to be as cheesy and as corny as possible, I'll give you the definition. Groupthink is the practice of thinking or making decisions as a group in a way that discourages creativity or individual responsibility. Or individual responsibility has a lot of meaning to me. Groupthink in our community, in the Points and Miles community, is one of my biggest pet peeves. I cannot stand when people think a loyalty program, a currency, rules, a product, a hotel chain, an airline fits into a box and people stop looking at it with a critical eye, with any kind of creativity. And when things go wrong because of groupthink and when people make a lot of bad decisions, nobody is responsible in our community. I'm going to tell you what brought up this to the forefront of my mind once again. It happens all the time. And that is the current limited time sign-up offers for the Delta SkyMiles cards for American Express. A lot of them offering up to 80,000 SkyMiles. And I'm going to call a few of you out here. I'm not going to use your name. I'm going to use your comments that you put on some of the articles where people are talking about this or asking about the offer and why I just do not like groupthink. And I'm going to tell you a story that drives groupthink home for me personally and why it's been such a big deal in my life. First, here's a comment. So we had a post, hey, 9 epic ways to use 80,000 Delta SkyMiles. First comment, this article needs to say, stop collecting SkyMiles, period. Collect transferable miles and transfer them to Air France, KLM, Flying Blue, or Virgin Atlantic, then book at much cheaper rates and still fly Delta equipment if you really want to. Of course, there's some all caps in there because that makes me believe your argument if you type in all caps. Stop doing that, people, okay? That doesn't help your argument any. As soon as I read this, it's a common argument. People say SkyMiles are terrible. Delta can't do it. No reason to have SkyMiles. You can collect other things. And if you want to book Delta, then you can use Flying Blue Miles or you can use Virgin Atlantic. Here's my first response to that comment. You cannot book Delta once you're within 21 days from departure with Delta partners. So if I only have Virgin Atlantic miles and I need to go somewhere next week on Delta, guess what? Can't do it. Got to use Sky Miles. If I only have Flying Blue miles, if I only have transferable currencies that go to Delta partners and I want to fly Delta, there's no availability. Okay, so stop that right there, because all of us have booked award tickets within 21 days of departure. The other thing is, we don't really know when Delta makes award seats available to the other airlines. Sometimes Delta will be charging the most miles possible and Virgin Atlantic will still have access to it. Sometimes Delta will be charging 5,000 sky miles one way for an award flight and KLM Flying Blue can't book it. Now, KLM Flying Blue, Air France, they have their own problems over there. But this overall arching thing of these comments, anytime an article pops up talking about sky miles, the first people jump on there. Sky miles are terrible. There's no reason to have them. Look, I've written countless articles about this, argued it, proven why sky miles have value. I cannot keep them in my account, right? I'm looking at taking my family to Orlando in a couple weeks, like less than a month from the time I'm recording this, and it's 12,000 miles round trip in main cabin, not basic economy, for us to fly per person. I want to go to Fort Myers, Hyatt Regency Coconut Point Resort, a great resort by all accounts. Have a Global Suite upgrade certificate I can use there. We can have a great time. It's 15,000 sky miles round trip. And by the way, cash fares are over $250. So I did some quick math. It's 1.4 cents per sky mile. Every time I collect sky miles because I fly Delta a lot, being an Atlanta guy, I burn the things because some opportunity comes up where I'm getting well over 1 cent per mile to book an award flight. If you want to go with a family of eight to Europe, sky miles is the way to do it. They're going to have 8, 9, 10 award seats in economy available at the lowest rate, sometimes 30,000 sky miles. They got a sale, 25,000 sky miles per person each way, and you're going to be able to get 6, 7, 8, 9, even 10 folks onto the same flight, right? So there's plenty of value. You can go back and Google best uses of sky miles and see some articles and deals that are out there. But despite the fact that I've stood on this soapbox for a number of years now, the very first comment every time I post one of these articles, this article needs to say, stop collecting sky miles. But when are we going to get out of this groupthink and stop talking about how useless Delta and sky miles are? By the way, let's not even talk about how much more pleasant it is to fly Delta compared to any other domestic carrier around here. And if you get lucky to get into their Delta One on the new 777-200 or the new A350 or the new 767-400 with their new product that has the suites in it, like, it smokes United and American. Just smokes it. All right. If you're sitting in the back in a 737 flying from Atlanta to San Francisco, like I've done several times, just a way better experience. And it's going to leave on time, by the way. And you're not going to be met with disgruntled workers who are just angry or goodness knows whatever's going on at American. Okay. So the groupthink has got to stop. And the Delta is a microcosm of the groupthink in our community. So before I go into a few more examples, I'm going to tell you really why groupthink became such a big deal for me. If you're at Chicago Seminars last year, which, by the way, plug for the Chicago Seminars, registration is probably going to open here very soon at the beginning, middle part of July. You need to go. I'll be there presenting again. Largest points and miles meetup, over 400, 500 folks that come together in Chicago. But I told this story last year at Chicago Seminars, and it's always made me try to be an independent, critical thinker all the time, no matter what I'm doing. If you've been following the community, if you know me, you know I was in the Navy for 9 years. If you don't know that, congrats. Now, part of the War Trial 101 community, you know I was in the Navy. My very first gig in the Navy was 3 years on a ballistic missile submarine just outside of Seattle, Washington base there, and we deployed to the Pacific three or four times during my 3 years before I ended up in the shipyards because the nuclear reactor had to be refueled. But one specific incident, which was basically led to groupthink, and it means that I should be dead right now. It means myself, 120 other shipmates should be dead. And oh, by the way, 24 nuclear weapons should be on the bottom of the ocean. So here's what happened. This is called the episode of the Midnight Sun. Now, because we're based in Seattle, actually just another piece of water over there in the Puget Sound, it's very shallow where the submarine base is. And that means when you leave base and when you come home, you have to surface transit. So submarine cannot submerge, you know, right off the pier or anything like that. You got to transit for a number of hours into the Straits of Juan de Fuca, which is the body of water that separates Washington State from Canada up there and goes all the way down into Seattle. But we surface transit for a number of hours until we get to a spot where the water's deep enough and we submerge, or if we're coming home before the water gets shallow, we surface. Surfacing a submarine funny enough, is a rather dangerous evolution because, surprise, they can't see you if I'm the submarine. And all we have is a periscope, which you have to be at a certain depth before that does you any good. And we have sonar. So one time, I think we were out for about 110 days. That's right, 110 days at sea underwater. We don't do port calls in the kind of boat that I was in. And everybody has what we call get-home-itis. You start making rash decisions, poor decisions, decisions you wouldn't have made because you just want to get home, amongst other things. So we're coming in from the Pacific Ocean. We get into the Straits of Juan de Fuca between Washington State and Canada. And we begin our surfacing procedure, which again, rather complex evolution. You got to blow air into your ballast tanks. Once you get the submarine up to a certain height, you have all kinds of sensors and everything the boat can do to make sure we're safely navigating. I am not on watch, which means I was not at my watch station in control, but I happened to be in the officer study where we had an open microphone where you could hear everything going on in the control room of the submarine. I was sitting there really looking forward to getting home. We're just a few hours an hour away. We surface, we transit in, and I start hearing the Coast Guard screaming over the bridge-to-bridge radio, you know, whatever our call sign was that day, Navy vessel, blah, blah, blah. What are you doing? What are you doing? Never a good thing. We're trained to always keep our voices calm, cool, and collected, even in intense situations. Same for the Coast Guard. So to hear a voice that's not calm, cool, and collected meant that something was really going wrong. Turns out what had happened is my submarine had surfaced directly in front of a massive 22,000-ton car shipper named the Midnight Sun that was coming from Canada or Alaska down to Seattle delivering cars, and missed us by, I think, I don't remember the final report, 150 or 200 yards, which in naval terms, especially with a submarine that is not an agile ship to make large maneuvers very quickly, it's a graze. You've been grazed by the bullet. You might as well have been shot. And come to find out, the only reason that the submarine was not T-boned, not cut in half, essentially, who knows what would have happened if we'd been hit by this thing. The captain of the Midnight Sun had been operating in those waters for many, many, many years, and he knew that when he saw Coast Guard vessels loitering, that meant a submarine was about to show up. Because when a submarine's on the surface that happens to have nuclear weapons, we have to have some kind of defense because the submarine has no defense on the surface whatsoever. So the Coast Guard comes alongside of us. They block us with these big containers, and they have some weapons and guns and make sure everybody stays away. So the Midnight Sun captain saw Coast Guard vessels kind of chilling, doing nothing. He went, huh, there's going to be a submarine. He looks down, and there we are. And he avoids us at the last second. And we get down to the root causes of it. Of course, there's a huge report. My commanding officer is fired. I really hated it because he was such a good guy and a great leader. And it came down to essentially what one person thought they saw on the sensor, because we were tracking the Midnight Sun. We didn't know the name of the vessel, but we were tracking it on sonar. The other people just went along with it. Nobody took a critical eye and said, you know what? I don't think that's actually what that passive sonar is telling us. Instead of us thinking that he's going directly away from us, he's actually coming right at us. Sonar watch team, nobody catches it. Fire control watch team, nobody catches it. Officer of the deck doesn't catch it, who has access to all these sensors as well. Our navigator, a senior officer, is actually on watch at the time at the chart, and we're apparently off course. And it comes down to groupthink. Nobody took a critical, creative, individual, responsible eye to what was right there in front of everybody that they've been trained on. And it almost killed all of us. It was a massive report, actually, that everybody who goes through the United States Navy Submarine School does this lesson now on the Midnight Sun and the USS Kentucky, my boat that I was on. And they all study and learn from it because it was within a matter of seconds, maybe a minute, to being the worst naval disaster in the history of mankind. And it almost cost me my life, quite frankly. So when I see people going down a road because everybody else is going down it, that means absolutely nothing to me. And it happens all the time in our community. One person, a prominent or unprominent blogger, says something, or a message board blows up, or people say, I saw or heard this, and everybody just starts like, you know, like when 3, 4, 5-year-olds play soccer, they call it bumblebee ball because everybody just goes around in a swarm following the soccer ball. That's what happens in our community sometimes. People play bumblebee ball, and they just, we go around in swarms, and we just, yeah, this is what he said. I heard this. I heard this. It's true. I'm not doing that. nobody has a shred of solid proof. Nobody's taking a step back and really taking a critical eye to what's going on based on whatever situation we have on. The other example was when everybody says British Airways first class is just like a business plus. It's terrible. It's just awful. It can't even compete. There's no way it's a first class deal. It's just like business class. So people who haven't flown it avoid British Airways because of this group thing going on. I'm telling you, when Emily and I flew it back first class from London to Atlanta a couple weeks ago from our trip, it was an absolutely lovely, incredible flight. Definitely a first class experience. I loved every second of it. Everything was great about it. And now I'm like, okay, groupthink once again. Everybody says it's bad. A bunch of elite, stuffy folks who fly British Airways all the time say it's no good. Well, is it Singapore first class in the brand new A380 suite? Is it Etihad A380 first class suites? No, it's not. But that's like, you know, those are outliers of commercial air flight. But, you know, this kind of stuff, again, just reiterates to me, stop the groupthink. Now, I'm not saying popular opinions are always wrong. I'm just saying, and I'm challenging you as you listen to this, have you taken a step back in what you think about a specific loyalty currency or what you think about an airline product that you may or may not have even flown? Is it reality? Or are you just going along with the swarm around the bumblebees? That's the challenge. That's the lesson. Groupthink, don't let it happen. If you're a subordinate listening to this and you've got a leader, your job is not to be a yes man or yes woman. Your job, if you think the group is going down the wrong path, is at least challenge everybody to take a step back and take a critical eye to whatever you're working on. And if you're a leader, you don't always have the right answers. Your job is to challenge your folks to challenge your opinion, to say, hey, am I looking at this with blinders on? Am I looking at this just because I've always done it? Is there something different today in whatever we're working on? You folks are around me to give me a different viewpoint than I have. And ensure that groupthink never comes into our organization, never comes into our community. And everybody here, your job is to challenge the folks that go down the path or to at least make yourself take that step back and think independently. That's my story of groupthink. It just happened again when I see these Delta threads coming up and people are like, oh, they're terrible. Just stop it. Okay, are they the best? No. Have I ever said SkyMiles are the best? Absolutely not. Do you want to fly Delta first class? Don't use SkyMiles because it's going to be 8 billion SkyMiles to fly one way to Europe. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that there is significant use for SkyMiles and you should not just chuck the whole thing in the trash because that's what you've always read. Oof, y'all get me worked up here when I start talking about these things and that I've got the years of experience with running the community. With all that said, we're going to be right back here on the War Travel 101 podcast, and we're going to talk innovation in the loyalty space. We're going to talk about the new Fuel Rewards Pro program for folks that drive for work in a number of different ways, and I'm excited to listen and share the interview with Michelle with everybody here. We'll be right back. The Award Travel 101 podcast is brought to you by Thrifty Traveler Premium. Over 80 international flight deals a month delivered right to your inbox. Never miss a cheap flight or a mistake fare again. Sign up today for free at thriftytraveler.com/AT101. Welcome back to the Award Travel 101 podcast, where I am joined with now a longtime friend, listener, and member of Award Travel 101, Ms. Michelle Liu, who is the Driver Loyalty Program Manager of Shell Fleet Solutions. Michelle, how are you doing today?
I'm doing really well, thank you. And I'm super excited to be here. It was only a couple of weeks ago that I listened to a podcast for the very first time. And it was you who introduced me to all of the great podcasts that you've been doing. And I can't believe that after just a couple of weeks, I'm on one. So thank you for having me here.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I actually was not a very big podcast listener until the last 6 months. And that was because I don't have a commute, which I'm not going to complain about. So I'm not missing the car drives, but I do miss having more time for podcasts. Michelle, we actually met through Award Travel 101 when you became a member. It had to be, it's well over a year now, right?
I think about a year and a half or 2 years ago.
You were trying to book flights on Cathay Pacific to Asia, if I recall correctly.
That was something that I was wanting to do. I still haven't done it, though.
You worked too hard over there at Shell Fleet Solutions. So as an introduction, can you just give our listeners a bit of an idea of what your responsibilities are and what your day-to-day looks like working there in Houston, Texas?
Sure thing. So I am a proud part of the Fleet Solutions team at Shell as the Driver Loyalty Program Manager. And it is a really exciting time to be at Shell Fleet Solutions because while everybody else, all of the other major companies are moving their sales, their marketing, and their service away from what they're managing, we're actually moving towards it. We're making huge investments. We're making investments to bring world-class products, services, and programs for our business customers. Now, for me specifically, I am looking to enhance the driver experience. So most of the rest of my team are looking at how to be a fantastic payment card provider, how to be a provider of telematics solutions, how to bring maintenance solutions to our fleets. I am in a very unique position to actually focus on drivers. And I want to bring more drivers to Shell. I want them to have a better experience. And I want them to feel rewarded when they are filling up at Shell and making purchases at Shell.
So when we say fleet drivers, give the listeners your definition of a fleet driver. Because I think, you know, a huge truck, company logo, something like that on the side. But that's not necessarily the case.
That can be the case, but you're right, it's not necessarily the case. So the idea of a fleet driver is really anyone who is driving a company-provided vehicle. It could be that you are a salesperson, you're an electrician, maybe even a repairman, repairwoman, your healthcare worker, delivery driver, landscaper, and even actually operators of cranes and other heavy machineries. So your company has provided a vehicle to you, or even if they haven't given you a vehicle to drive and you're driving your personal car, they're paying for your fuel. They're reimbursing you for it.
So this is rather unique and targeted marketplace, which to my knowledge in the loyalty program space does not exist until you've come out with the new Fuel Rewards Pro program. Is that an accurate statement? Does anybody else target fleet drivers with the loyalty program?
You know, I haven't seen that they do that specifically. There are other loyalty programs out there that everybody has access to. So, you know, everyday consumers, no matter what their jobs are. But this is the first program that I know of that actually offers these fleet drivers actual tangible cents per gallon savings that they can then rack up and use for their family vehicles.
So this is something I like to look for in the loyalty space. It's really innovation. Not a lot of innovation coming out over the last few years. And when you sent me a message and said, hey, I've got something new to talk about, I love getting excited about that. So give everybody a brief introduction overview of how the Fuel Rewards Pro program works.
Sure. So the general idea of rewarding employees for work-related travel isn't new. We all know that every one of us in the Award Travel 101 group, including myself, very much enjoys all the benefits of frequent flyer miles, hotel points programs, but now we've brought that idea to work-related fuel purchases. So Fuel Rewards Pro is ideal for you if you're driving a vehicle that's provided by your company or you're reimbursed by your company for fuel purchases, like if you rent a car or if you're driving your own car. And this is a money-saving program for you if you fall under that category. With Fuel Rewards Pro, you can earn 5 cents per gallon in personal rewards each time you make a work fill up of at least 10 gallons at any of our 12,000 plus participating Shell stations. There's no limit to how much you can pump for work. So if you have a really big vehicle, a big truck, a big delivery van, this program works for that. And then the pro rewards that you're accumulating, they stack with all the other rewards that can be earned from everyday purchases like shopping online. I know you're a fan of that, dining out, and also booking to travel and a lot more. And plus, as a pro, you're actually awarded goal status right off the bat, which always allow you to enjoy an additional 5 cent per gallon savings on personal fill-ups, up to 20 gallons. And Fuel Rewards Pro is compatible with any form of payment that Shell stations accept. So it can be a fleet card, which is what most of the fleet drivers have, but it could also be a corporate card. It could be even cash. It could be even gift cards.
Yeah, so here's how I use the program. And to kind of bring it just to a real-life example, which we did a case study of several real-life drivers using the Fuel Rewards Pro program. But when I go somewhere for Award Wallet, Award Travel 101, and I have to rent a car, you, of course, have to fill the car up before you return it. And I get reimbursed through Award Wallet for those fill-ups. So if I rent a car, I need to return it back to the airport, I fill up at least 10 gallons of gas. That gives me an additional 5 cents of savings to add on to any other fuel rewards that I've earned through the gold status, through the online shopping portal, which is what Michelle knows that I like to use in order to build up my fuel rewards. And it's just, it costs me nothing extra. It's really easy to do. And it's just something that I'm trying to tell the audience about. If you're a fleet driver, it's no skin off your back. It's no skin off your company's back. And you get an additional 5 cents per gallon savings. So that's how I use the Fuel Rewards Pro program. I know we had, I think physical therapists who go around to people's house with somebody that we interviewed who uses it. And we had a large fleet driver for a huge truck that fills up like 100 gallons every time he fills up. I don't know, but pretty innovative stuff. Do you have any idea of the estimated market size of the number of fleet drivers that are out there in the U.S. that you guys are targeting?
Sure. So I don't have the number of fleet drivers, but I have the number of gallons that they can consume. And the size is huge. It's 38 billion gallons. It's staggering. And that means each... billion with a B. With each fleet vehicle consuming an average of 1,000 to 2,000 gallons per year. And the reason why we talk about gallons and not drivers is because sometimes several drivers are assigned to a single vehicle. And that figure includes pickup trucks, utility vans, cargo vans, sport utility vehicles, sedans that use regular stations, retail stations to fill up. It doesn't even include the 18-wheeler trucks that some people think of when it comes to fleets. So if you were to include that, the number would even be more significant. But the target that we're looking after, 38 billion gallons a year.
So that kind of already answers my next question is, you know, what led you and Shell and the Fleet Solutions team to recognize there's a market? And I guess the answer is because there are 38 billion gallons of gas being used for fleet drivers.
You got it. The thing is, as I said, the rest of my team, are focused on working with fleets. And every fleet has a business owner, or maybe it's a procurement manager, or it's a dedicated fleet manager that makes very important decisions on how to maintain the fleet, how to maximize efficiency of that fleet, and what payment cards will be the most convenient for that fleet to use. But while those people decide how drivers pay for vehicle expenses, the inspiration for our program lies in the insight that it's actually the drivers that ultimately make the decision on where to fuel. We recognize that these drivers work hard, and Fuel Rewards Pro is a way for us to thank them and reward them when they happen to choose Shell. And the Fuel Rewards Program members that I've talked to, they tell me they just don't get a lot of perks at their job. They work really hard, and being able to earn rewards for their family vehicle and help with their family expenses can really make a difference.
Yeah, let's really make that clear to everybody is you're earning savings on your work fill-up that you're going to use for your personal car, right? These don't have to be used for your work fill-up. That's the whole incentive here is that you can fill up your personal car from driving from work. Just like you said, you earn hotel and airline miles. You might as well earn fuel savings as well from your work driving.
That's right. And I know a lot of your listeners own businesses themselves, and they might even have a small, medium, or even large fleet that they're looking after. So it's important for me to point out that Fuel Rewards Pro isn't only valuable for the drivers, but also it's important and valuable for the companies that employ those drivers. So we've seen across the industry that companies have a driver retention problem. It's tough to hold on to really good drivers. And by promoting Fuel Rewards Pro to those drivers, companies are seen as proactively offering an added employee benefit, but at no cost to the companies themselves. The companies can encourage their drivers to use Fuel Rewards Pro whether or not they actually use any of our Shell Fleet Solutions payment cards, too.
So I know you guys were always really leading the pack out there as far as competition goes. Are there any other innovations that you can share about Fuel Rewards Pro with the Shell Fleet team is working on that's going to further incentivize either fleet drivers or business owners to fill up at Shell?
I can share only if you promise not to tell anybody. I'm just kidding. So
that's not something I can promise.
I understand. So specifically for Fuel Rewards Pro, we're always looking to make the program more convenient to use. In fact, in the coming months, we're going to be rolling out mobile payment solution for fleet cards with the ability to store your Fuel Rewards Pro ID, so that you never have to interact with the pump screen or the pin pad, but still automatically earn pro rewards when you're filling up. We will also make Fuel Rewards Pro much more rewarding for fuel, fleet drivers to use as well. Coming soon, there'll be new and exciting national offers on snacks and drinks from well-known companies that I can't name just yet. So whether you're filling up for work, quenching your thirst, grabbing a snack, you can be earning rewards for yourself through the Fuel Rewards Pro program. And it's also, again, really exciting for the fleet business as well. So altogether, our team is looking to enhance our savings and rebate programs for companies, adding telematics and maintenance products as well in order to simplify everybody's jobs from the drivers to the fleet managers, help everybody lower costs. And our solutions will continue to grow in being digital, being secure and integrated across all of our service providers, our partners, our point of sale systems, and mobile apps.
This is Michelle Liu from Michelle Fleet Solutions, specifically on the Driver Loyalty Program Manager. Michelle, I know that you're a large fan of points and miles overall. What I really like about Fuel Rewards Pro is if you're not a fleet driver, number one, you probably didn't have any idea that this program existed. But number two is there are loyalty programs that can benefit all of us in ways that we're not even aware of. So my advice to everybody listening is to keep your eyes open for the programs like Fuel Rewards Pro that could be rewarding for things that you're doing every day anyways. Michelle, I have to ask you, as a points and miles semi-guru now, because you're extremely active in the Award Travel 101 Facebook group, outside of Shell Fuel Rewards, because I know you're a diehard fan, what is your favorite loyalty program that you're utilizing right now?
That's a tough one. I would say one that I am very excited about racking up some points in is that Marriott Bonvoy. I know that there are a lot of grumps associated with it.
Yours truly.
Yes, and I myself had a recent grump recently, and I learned through the Travel Grumps group how to properly ask for compensation and received it. So I'm giving them another chance, and I actually just recently booked a 5-night stay at a Marriott hotel in Austin for an upcoming family vacation, booked using points for 4 nights and got the 5th night free.
I told you she was a pro, ladies and gentlemen. Michelle knows what she's doing is rather lethal there with the points and miles.
Hardly.
Thanks for your time today. Please tell everybody where they can go to sign up and learn more for Fuel Rewards Pro.
Please visit Fuel Rewards. .com/pro or simply download the Fuel Rewards Pro app in the Android or in your iTunes stores.
Michelle, thanks for the time. And if you have a question about Fuel Rewards, I guarantee you that there's about 100% chance if you ask it in Award Travel 101, Michelle somehow has some algorithm I'm not aware of that immediately pings her. Somebody's talking about Fuel Rewards and she does a great job jumping in and answering for us. Michelle, enjoy Texas. Stay cool this summer. And thanks again.
Thank you so much for having me.
We'll be right back on the Award Travel 101 podcast. My thanks again to Michelle and everybody over at Shell, Michelle from Shell, who has always been a great supporter of the group and has allowed me to save a lot of money. If you are a fleet driver, no, that doesn't mean you have to drive a vehicle with the company on your side. If you're a fleet driver, you need to sign up for Fuel Rewards Pro. It's an easy and free way for you to save. And I'm just always excited to share innovation in our space with everybody. Hey, let's get to the redemption of the week to cap off today's episode. This is a rather unique one, but I had to share it because it's something, hey, that goes against groupthink, even mine included. And this is from my buddy Melody Tal Gervin, who has been a member of the group for a number of years now. She did not get referral points for having her husband sign up for the, I think it was the Chase Sapphire Preferred or Chase Sapphire Reserve. Typically, and that's because he didn't use the link, she says, right? So he got the new car, didn't use the link, and it's kind of like, well, dadgummit, that's the whole purpose of it. Now, typically when this happens, if somebody does not use your link, there's 0% chance that you're going to get your referral points. Or even if they do use your link and it doesn't track for whatever reason, there's just no way that they've ever given out points before. But yesterday, Melody posted in the group, miracles do happen. I recently posted in the Travel Grumps group about referring my husband to get Chase card. And he didn't use my link. Now, that's grounds for divorce in my house, but that's another conversation. He didn't even open the email I sent him, just clicked online. So she called. They said, forget about it. However, she got a notice in the mail that 10,000 points have been adjusted into her account, confirming that indeed she did get the referral points. Hashtag miracles do happen. Hashtag marriage saved. So congrats, Melody. Congrats, Melody's husband, for not having to look for a new wife on that. That's awesome. That's the first time I've ever heard of anybody getting referral points, even though the link wasn't used or if the link didn't track. So, hey, we're busting in groupthink every single day. It'd be a huge favor to me. Go subscribe, rate the Award Travel 101 podcast. We're on all of the different platforms. You can always send me questions via private messages or in the Facebook group on the Facebook page. Follow me, Twitter, Instagram, Award Travel 101. Great episode. We'll catch everybody next week.